T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you are on board. And Evan Heffelfinger taking over the controls, as today is a very busy day. Radio Joe Zenzola got some stuff going on. So he's out for just a little bit. Be back in a little while. And you are here. I am here. And we're going to continue on and move forward. Brewers out in spring training. Pitchers and catchers have reported, which is good news, which should make you feel at least a little bit warmer, I guess, with all the crappy weather that's rolling through as of right now. This portion of the program, by the way, brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Thanks to them for being a part of the program. Here's one thing, is coming up the end of May, we're not that far away. You know, you got the Budweiser Pavilion will open back up, music back under the stars, and all that. Eventually, it'll get warm again. So at least you've got something to kind of look forward to. You know what I mean? So we at least got that on the horizon. We were talking about baseball a little while ago. And we were talking about the criticism for the commissioner's office. And I wanted to know, I wanted to follow up on that. Okay? I wanted to follow up on that. And here's the reason why. Because I wanted to see if anything that has gone on regarding the Astros and this situation and the way baseball has handled this affects you as a fan. If it affects you as a fan. Now, the Brewers don't play in the Astros, you know, division or league or, you know. So, does it affect you? Are you just focused on Brewers baseball? Does it matter, I guess, is the best way to put it. And then one of the other aspects of this, and I thought this was really interesting the other day, when baseball put forth the thought of expanding the postseason, kind of the made-for-TV show when teams get a chance to, with the best records, get a chance to pick who they want to play, we never really expounded upon that. And I want to get back to that. And I want to ask you specifically, with all of this, what would make you come back? Now, it's tough because 3 million people go through the turnstiles at Miller Park. The ratings for Brewers games are as high as they've ever been. You know what I mean? It's hard for you and I to equate the angst towards baseball outside of this area. But you tell me, what is it about baseball that has become less and less consumable over the last few years, to where baseball has had 7 years in a row of the decline of attendance, of viewership? Their World Series is not being paid attention to. You tell me. I mean, if we were sitting here today and I said, you are the commissioner of baseball, fix it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. I think it's a legitimate question. What are you going to do to fix baseball at this point? Because this is Rob Manfred now taking over when the game was just about at an all-time high under Bud Selig. Since then, it has under Rob Manfred's leadership. And it's not all Rob. It's not all Rob Manfred's leadership. But he's faced with some pretty difficult things right now. And it's how he handles them from here on out is as to whether or not baseball's going to, I don't want to say survive, because baseball's going to survive. But whether or not baseball's going to have the same staying power as they have had in the past. I mean, you go back to that old James Earl Jones speech in Field of Dreams. You know, it's baseball, Ray. It's been wiped apart like this country, rebuilt, wiped apart again. It's baseball, and it survives, and it'll be great again, and it wipes away all the real life, you know. I don't know the entire speech, it's in it word for word, but it wipes away whatever's going on in real life, and then you come here, and you go back to those days of smelling hot dogs and popcorn down the baselines and being a kid again, and all that is good about the game, and the national pass. I mean, all of the romanticism of baseball. How are you going to get back? You know? How are you going to get it back? They don't do the business person's special anymore, where you can pull a kid out during the day and say, let's go to a ball game. It's all at night. You know, I mean, it's even the World Series is 4 hours and runs to midnight. It just, what do you do? What would you do? You know what I mean? What would you do? What would you do to give baseball its luster again? Let's go to Bob, listening to us in Kimberly. Bob, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Well, yeah, hi, Bill. First thing is I don't like the new rule about the pitcher having to face at least three batters unless you get out of a half inning. That takes a lot of the strategy away. I know why they're doing it. It's strictly, you know, that one game where Council started a pitcher for one inning and basically one batter, rather, and then messed up the whole game for the other side. But I've heard you use this word on the radio. I think it's a bunch of crap myself. And, yeah, the games are too darn long. Enforce that 20-second pitch rule that's supposedly been on the books for how long and never see it enforced and make the batter stay in the goddamn box between pitches. Otherwise, you know, put a strike on him. You know, if they step out,
right,
give him a strike.
I agree with that. I mean, I appreciate the phone call. Look, the whole thing about the game being too long, is the game too long? And I would love, now I know, you know, we've got a bunch of people that are probably better to weigh in on this that are in school right now, but anybody under the age of 30, I would love to hear your opinion. Because they're basing this upon your attention span. And I'm not blaming you specifically for those that are listening under the age of 30 that are going, wait a minute, it's not me. But I would love to know. I would love to know. Do we have to go from 3 hours and 6 minutes to 2 hours and 52 minutes? You know? Is that big a deal? I think if you go to a baseball game, you know what you get. You know? You can make certain things more exciting and more interactive, maybe. But is that where we're at, that those 4 minutes, those 8 minutes are going to rejuvenate the game of baseball? Or maybe we just need the game to be a level playing field. We need teams to actually be competitive. We need things to be exciting. Shorten the damn season. Nobody wants to see baseball in the snow. Nobody wants to see guys wearing those skin-tight body leotards over their with their ball caps over it, where you can barely see their face, in late October going into November. Nobody wants to be trick-or-treating and watching the World Series at the same time. But they won't do that. You know why? Because baseball's greedy. They got to pay the players more and more and more. And the players don't care. They're getting their money. It's all guaranteed money. There's a lot of things that are wrong with baseball. And a lot of things that were good. And I'll tell you what. You know, I know that Gordon Gekko in the movie Wall Street, he fired off the greed is good, greed works, but in Major League Baseball's case, greed is killing the game. It's killing the game. Let's go to Robert on the east side. Robert, how you doing today, man? What's going on, buddy? What's happening?
Oh, the cliche. You stole my thunder, kind of. Casual fan, played baseball, coached baseball. I think there's not, that there's too many games, and like football, every week I live for it because that game is going to make a difference, where in the baseball season I'll kind of wait till the end of the year to really get engaged, because I'm a casual fan. So they need to get like people like me back into the game, make each game more important, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I wish they would. I know they tried to do that with, appreciate the phone call, with the competitive imbalance in playing more times, more games within your division, so they will matter more in the long run. I think that was great. But I think the game of baseball has become, with less balls in play, strikeouts being okay, Everybody wants to hit the home run. It's not like basketball where, you know, you let it fly. You know what I mean? Three-point shots are much more cut. Now, if you're going to move, say, the line back in basketball and make them that much more dynamic, then, okay, maybe the percentages go down and things don't become as exciting. But in baseball, the grip it and rip it mentality, the ability to play good baseball, I think what they've done is they've taken the cerebral out of the game for the average fan to where it used to have to be you'd think about hit and runs. When's the last time you saw a good hit and run? You know, you're moving a runner along. When's the last time you saw that? Instead, it's just go up and grip it, and then the guy goes back to the dugout with his head down. It's a strikeout. 9 times out of 10, they don't put their head down anymore. They kind of smile. Like, I gave it my shot. There you go. You know, it is what it is. I think the grip it and rip it mentality, I think the analytics, I do like the fact that they're going to make pitchers pitch. I hate the DH. Absolutely hate the DH. I think part of baseball's charm has always been the cerebral ability to think of moves, which is why baseball is so analyzed and scrutinized, and there's so many good baseball post-game talk shows, because what you could have done, in hindsight being what it is, and the matchup of the lefty and the righty and the lefty and the lefty and who may be better in this particular situation, yes, there are numbers to back all of that up. But I think the inability for baseball to put the ball in play on a consistent basis has hurt the game. When the action is almost 12 minutes between ball and play, in a lot of cases, it's become boring by its own consumption. And so, yes, I'd love to see pitchers speed up the clock. Yes, I'd love to see batters have to face a pitcher for three straight batters, and or pitchers face three straight batters. Yes, I get all of that. So I think that'll help the game. It's not going to speed it up, but what they're trying to do is put more action in the game. But anything, I think shortening the season and anything that's going to create more immediacy to the games themselves, I think is good. I think it's good for the game. But I also want to see baseball, as much as the Players Association wants to see no salary cap, I know they would love to see a salary floor put in place. I think there should be. I think there should be a cap and a floor. I think you should have to spend no less than, say, $75 to $80 million and no more than $200 million. That's it. That's your in-between. And if you go over that, you don't go to the postseason. So you can build a dream team. Pay them as much as you want. Put them on the field. Go watch them play. But you're not going to see them in the postseason because you've spent too much money. I think there should be a hard salary cap in baseball. If you want to keep guaranteed money, keep guaranteed money. These guys are going to get paid well into their 50s. But I think there should be a hard floor and a hard ceiling in Major League Baseball. Just my opinion. If I was commissioner, that's the first thing I would work on. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Come back. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We're back. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Van Horn Automotive. They want me to remind you that they cover it all. And what I'm talking about at Van Horn Automotive. Now, you know, I got my Ford F-150 there. I had the Dodge Ram there. And I traded that in, got the Ford F-150, and then my car, the other car that I had a SUV. After 311,000 miles, that thing died. And so now I'm doing the 90-day test drive with a Genesis, which I just never thought I'd love, but I do. And by the way, all-wheel drive on that thing, it handled the snow beautifully coming in today. And in addition to that, I hate to say it, but Gary Ellison and I drove up to a game in Green Bay. And came out to go do the post-game show. We went to jump in my truck and realized the whole front end had been smashed in. So I had to take it back to him and go, you're not going to believe this. I got hit again. again. But you know what? They kind of shrugged their shoulders. And Ryan, one of the guys up there in the marketing department, said, you know what? It just happened to me, too, at a game not too long ago. So everybody understands. Stuff happens, man. So the best part about it is they work with my insurance company. I've had to make one phone call. That's it. Everything else has been done and done beautifully. It's going to be done probably at the end of this week because I told them to take their time on it. I didn't need it back right away. So they were waiting on a part. The parts, because it's a 2020, so the parts are coming in, and they're going to get it done. And they guarantee it'll be just like it was the day it rolled off the assembly line. So it's been a great experience, even though it's been a really crappy experience. And that's what you want. Somebody to handle your worst time the best way it possibly can be handled. And they've done that at Van Horn Auto. So whether it's the 90-day test drive like I'm doing now, their body shop, their service department, whatever it happens to be, like I've unfortunately had to use, the oil changes for life on any vehicle, whether it's a new vehicle, used vehicle, commercial vehicle, whatever it happens to be, they handle it all. Go to VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com. And oh, by the way, they are family-born and employee-owned, the only employee-owned dealership in the state. So all you got to do is call them. They got a huge auto group, 16, 17 stores now, something like that. They continue to grow. The newest one, obviously, I just mentioned the Genesis, that Hyundai store they have up there in Sheboygan. They just keep getting bigger and better. That is our friends over at Van Horn Auto. Go to VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com. Jeff, listening to us in La Crosse on the mighty WKTY out there. Jeff, how you doing today, buddy? What's going on?
Doing well, yourself?
Doing well. What's up?
I just wanted to touch on the subject about how to make baseball more watchable. And my thought was, what do you think about a hard salary cap so you can make small market teams more competitive?
I completely agree. I've been a huge proponent. Appreciate the phone call. Huge proponent of that, of a salary cap and a salary floor. Okay, so you can't be the Marlins and only spend $30 million. Okay, you have to go out and spend some of the money. So I've been saying for a while now, I'd like to see like a $70 million to $75 million floor, and I'd love to see a $200 million cap. I think most teams could fall into that parameter quite comfortably. And then over a period of time, they can raise the cap. But the fact that the players' union will not even hear it, and you still have if the owners feel that a contract is too much, the players complain. So they want the owners to spend the money. I get it. Then an owner will fall on his head and spend a stupid amount of money. And then everybody complains about that. I think there is a very healthy living to be made with a $200 million salary cap in Major League Baseball. I don't think we're getting too crazy here. Look, you can pay exorbitant salaries in a 53-man roster in football. I'm not saying that you have to go down to paying guys $300,000 and $800,000, but what I am saying is, you know, for the last man on the bench to be making $8 to $10 million is a little ridiculous. It just is. Okay? So, to me, I'd love to see the trickle-down effect be that they go from $70 million, $75 million to $200 million in baseball. Okay? So, you put it at about there, and then in addition to that, whatever overage you have that you would be spending normally on salaries in Major League Baseball, that money then is trickled down to the guys in the minor league system. The guys that you own for years and years and years and years and years and still toil away in your minor league system, some with the hope of coming up, some with no hope of coming up, but you actually give them a better living as well. That way you have more people that are dedicated to playing the game, and it makes the game better overall. Just my opinion. But I think then there's a competitive balance throughout Major League Baseball. And not just six or seven teams at the beginning of the season you really believe you're going to have a legitimate shot. Because I think baseball is the ultimate X factor. You can pretty much pick the five teams that are going to win a championship in the NBA. Most likely two of those teams or three of those teams are actually going to have a legitimate shot. Okay? Football, you could probably pick about seven teams, eight teams at the beginning of the season. And depending on injuries, specifically in football, which are more and more detrimental, but there's more and more to be said for role players and such in football, things can change. We all thought, you know, that the Chiefs were good, but they had to go a weird road to get there. I mean, it was down to a final score and some inches for both of those teams to get the number one seed. Remember, Kansas City doesn't get the number one seed if the New England Patriots don't lose to Miami on that last game. Then they got to go the wild card route to get in. I mean, it was such a dynamic So, Major League Baseball, though, you got, it's been proven that the wild card teams can get in and win it. You know, teams just get hot at the right time when it comes to baseball. Usually the creme de la creme will rise, but it's not always the best team that wins it. You know, baseball is a more difficult championship to win, in my opinion. I think it's more wide open, and the more competitive balance you put in Major League Baseball, I think the more interesting it becomes. This one is from Matt, who says, it's not the length of the game that bothers me. It's the downtime during the game. They just simply need a faster pace. That I would agree with as well. This one's from Kyle, says, I'm hot mad at baseball and I'm mad at the Astros. I like the Astros, but not much anymore. Not a fan. All this is tainted. Go, Kyle. That's our buddy from Fond du Lac. This one's from Christopher, who writes into Wendy's email inbox. The pace of play, what really bothers me. I don't give a damn watching 3 hours of good baseball. It's nothing happening in between pitches. Guys adjusting their batting gloves, looking down the line, grabbing their crotches, stepping back in. 40, 50 seconds will go by. Nothing is done. Who cares? It is a boring game. If baseball doesn't wake up and understand this for the attention spans that many younger people have today, this is the reason they're turning away from the game. I'd rather go walk around the concourse, drink a beer, and socialize with friends, and then when I hear the crack of a bat, pay attention, than sit there through mind-numbing, crotch-grabbing, spitting, glove-adjusting stuff or meaningless replays that they won't even show us on the big screen anymore because they're so afraid of fans getting too involved in booing an umpire. This has become far too ridiculous in baseball. There's so many easy solutions, and baseball is just too damn ignorant to pay attention, which is the reason I quit watching baseball 2 years ago. That is from Christopher. There is not much there I can argue with, Christopher. You are almost spot on. I love baseball. I am a baseball guy through and through. But there's not much there I can argue with. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. We would love to hear from you. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at the Four Seasons Island Resort in Pembine, Wisconsin. Go to thefourseasonswi.com. That's thefourseasonswi.com and check it out for yourself. They got a great stay in, a great stay pass. And well, they will, by the way, on the island up there in the golf season, open it up for golf again as well. They got a great 9-hole course up there. But it's a lot of fun, but great dinners, the wine and dine package they have up there right now. Call our friend Barb, 715-324-5800, 715-324-5800, the Four Seasons Island Resort in Pembine, Wisconsin. Gotta love that place. Also, Curly's Waterfront Pub and Grill out there, Lakeview Boulevard, Pewaukee, overlooking the lake, a big selection of brews and cocktails and great, great food. They got one of the best chef salads I've ever had. I've said that time and again. Ticket giveaways for all your favorite teams, raffle nights, charity nights. Go to curlyswaterfrontpub.com or follow them on Facebook, curlyswaterfrontpub.com. Tell them I sent you. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show, we continue on. Radio Joe is back. Evan Heffelfinger's back behind the glass. You want to give us a call? Go ahead and do so. 855-830-8648. I'm giving my own cell phone number. 855-830-8648. By the way, you want to hit us up on Twitter? Go ahead and do so. You can hit us up there at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @Radio Joe Sports. You can find us on the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. You can look for the blue check mark there. You can find us over on the Facebook fan page along with the website. Website has access to all of this. Go to BillMichaelsSports.com. And don't forget about the radio.com app. The radio.com app, great way to stay in touch with the program. Want to kind of change gears here just a little bit because there's been some discussion, as we say, that has been out there. And some of you would love to see Randall Cobb, who's going to be a free agent, come back. Think about that. Would you want to see Randall Cobb come back to the Green Bay Packers? I don't know. I don't know how much sense it makes. Put it this way. Rob Domofsky wrote about this, and I saw this, and he had a good season, Randall Cobb did. Randall Cobb alongside Devontae Adams might make some sense. Certainly would help out Aaron Rodgers, but Randall Cobb is what he is. He's not a downfield guy. He is a comeback guy. He is a slot receiver. But he had 828 yards and three touchdowns this year. He helped them move the ball. And that was from the slot position. Now you have, remember, they've got Amari Cooper. So they're doubling Amari Cooper, plus they had Jason Witten, and they're paying attention to Jason Witten. You're going to need more than just a return of Randall Cobb for this offense to really go. You know? I find it interesting because, don't forget, Mike McCarthy's the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Randall Cobb knows that system. You know? So there could be a return for Randall Cobb to go back to Dallas because he knows what's going on down there, and Mike liked him. But the Packers are going to be looking for a receiver, one in the draft, and they're most likely looking for a veteran wide receiver, somebody that works well with Aaron Rodgers or could work well with Aaron Rodgers. That might be a guy like Randall Cobb. Do you think, and this is the other thing to caution, it's always better to get rid of a guy a year too soon than a year too late. Randall Cobb had a good year this past year. Is this year the year too late? Do you bring him back for nostalgia fact, or do you bring him back because you think he's just that good? You know what I mean? Geronimo Allison's a free agent. They got to make a choice on him, Lazard, and you kind of go through the list. But, you know, when you look about, like say, Geronimo Allison, Alan Lazard, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Jake Kumerow, 63 slot catches for 683 yards. Okay? 828 receiving yards for Randall Cobb. 716 of those catches and yards were coming out of the slot. He had more slot receptions than everybody else combined in the Green Bay Packers. You know? So would you be up for and excited about a return of Randall Cobb to the Green Bay Packers? I mean, I know they were hoping. The other thing to remember is you're going to get Equanimeous St. Brown back, but I'll be honest. After watching what happened to Geronimo Allison and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I am not putting any eggs in the basket of Equanimeous St. Brown. I think he could be a really good slot receiver. Big hands, big wingspan, doesn't mind going over the middle, doesn't mind taking a hit. But after watching and having an expectation of advancement from Geronimo Allison and Marquez Valdes-Scantling this past year and just not getting it, I'm not looking for anybody that's that hasn't proven themselves to suddenly step up. Anything you get once you stack the deck after that is gravy. It's icing on the cake. But I'm not going to rely on those particular players to step up and become just better because I think you have to go out and find yourself a veteran. He might come on the cheap. But Randall Cobb, 55 catches, 828 yards, and three touchdowns in his first season with the Cowboys, that's nothing to sneeze at. And one of the other aspects of this, and I did mention this, but you have Amari Cooper on one side and Jason Witten on the other. So, you know, I mean, you've got some superstars around him. Could you then get yourself another tight end out there, such as an Olsen, and bring in a veteran like that who can give you some additional catches? And he still played solid. Remember, they didn't have Cam Newton this past year. He still played solid, but better than most of the tight ends the Packers had. So do you bring in a guy like Olsen and Randall Cobb? That solidifies your veterans when it comes to the receiving core and then just fortify it with draft choices. Get maybe one or two wide receivers, one early, one late, and fortify your wide receiving core with them plus what you already have and hope that Equanimeous St. Brown comes back and plays well as well. Or do you go in a different direction? 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. I'd love to see your thoughts on this. Cowboys were pleased with Randall Cobb's contributions. He played under a one-year, $5 million contract. And, you know, Randall Cobb said, look, I really like Dallas. And he said he thinks there's a chance that he can return there. He said, I'm trying to get lost in my training and worry about the first and foremost because everything else is going to handle itself, Cobb said. While working out in California, once free agency gets here, we'll see what happens. There's no telling, and there's been a lot of crazy things that have been happening in his business as of late. And the crazier things that have happened than Cobb returning to Green Bay, the Packers once brought back another receiver they jettisoned in James Jones back in 2015. But that was after Jordy went down, remember. So Cobb, he's going to turn 30. He's not really even an old man yet, but he's going to turn 30 in August. So there's always that concern about the physical decline, but he's always been a pretty good shape guy, except for the ankles. His ankles have always bothered him. The argument that a player like Cobb could slow the development of a younger long-term player, that's proven wrong in 2019 when, other than Lazard, everybody else had a chance to step up and develop, and nobody did. So I'm not worried about young players at this point in time. Again, there's a lot of this concern about, well, we got to develop this and develop that. You don't have time. You've got to win now. What about this don't people get? You know, Brian Gutekunst said that Davante Adams is a premier receiver. I thought in different games, different guys stepped up. I thought Alan Lazard had some pretty good moments in clutch times. Here's a guy we cut and brought back, and he's catching, a fourth and two in the NFC Championship game, he said. He said, I thought there were guys that had stepped up in some pretty big moments. I think consistency, we didn't have anybody step into that role consistently, and I think there were some opportunities for those guys that'll be there for those guys next year, and I think that's going to be a position we look to add to. Look, Brian Gutekunst has to say that because he's got some guys that are under contract, but he's right. He's got to add to it. No doubt about it. You got to add to it. You got to figure things out. Would you be opposed to bringing Randall Cobb back? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Hey, the Biofuels Association, I've been telling you about their website, abetterfuel.org, their new website, which dispels a lot of the myths, gives you a lot of facts regarding fuels, unleaded 88, E85, flex fuel vehicles, all that kind of stuff. And I've been telling you for a while, just go there and check it out. And why? You ask why. Why should I? Why should I give a damn? Well, because even if it all breaks even on all sides, you can still help out farmers, the corn growers, the people that work at the biofuel plants. Rather than paying the big oil companies, you can go straight to them. Keep the money working here in the economy. I mean, I think that's what's best for everybody. That's something to keep kind of put in the back of your head and remind yourself. If your vehicle's capable and you should go there and find out, then I think it should be something you should at least explore. You can find a lot of the flex fuels and a lot of the unleaded 88s at Jets and our friends over there at Quick Trip, and they're a big supporter of a lot of the local farmers here in the upper Midwest. See it for yourself. Go to abetterfuel.org. That's abetterfuel.org, and just get the facts. That's when you're best equipped, is when you have all the facts. Let's go to Mike listening to us in Florida. Mike, how you doing today, man? What's up?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Bill?
Doing well, my friend. What's on your mind?
Good. Yeah, so I don't want to see them bring Cobb back. Cobb, he was never a super fast guy. He was more quick than he was fast. He's small. He's injury prone. I know he had a good year last year, but I just feel like, you know, offensively we're trying to be more explosive and get faster, and I think we're not really accomplishing that by bringing in Cobb. And we all saw what, you know, guys like a Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, that guy from the Redskins. There was a lot of rookie wide receivers last year that made big-time impact. So I would rather draft two wide receivers high, given the strength of the draft in that area, and then I would rather add a tight end in free agency, because you still don't know what you have in Jay Sternberger, because he didn't really get on the field much. So I'd right. rather hedge my bets. From that standpoint, what are your thoughts?
Well, here's a couple things. Sternberger, I think they believe in, but I have not seen anything that's going to make me go, wow, he's the next coming of, and then fill in the blank right. for any quality tight end that you've noticed here in the recent future or recent past. The second thing is I firmly believe you need a veteran at a wide receiver position, whether it's slot or anything else. I firmly believe you got to draft at least two wide receivers. Number one thing you have to figure out is, well, actually two. The right tackle position, I would bring Bulaga back. It's going to be short term, but I'll bring it back and I'll probably front load that contract. And then the second thing is you got to figure out what you're going to do with Mason Crosby. I think you'd be crazy not to bring him back either. And I think Mason would even come back for kind of the same money or a little bit less, knowing that he's coming down to the end of his career just to remain here in Green Bay, which is where he loves and wants to be a part of. In addition to that, I'm thinking beef up front defensively, and you got to find yourself a middle linebacker that's for real. Or additional depth in the defensive front. whether that's outside rusher, inside rusher, whatever it happens to be. But you have got to figure out your middle linebacking coverage situation, because it was the Achilles heel all season long. Everybody knew, go over the middle, and chances are you'll pick up a first down against this team. And they were 47% on third down when passing over the middle this season, which is almost guaranteeing the fact that you're going to be there. So I think those are the things of dire need on this team, but it has to be somebody who gets it familiarity-wise with a quarterback that likes to extend plays. And those are the things you have to take care of. Appreciate the phone call. By the way, and this was just sent to me, and I've read this a couple of times, the rumor is the Bears want to trade Khalil Mack. They want to get rid of Khalil Mack. They're talking about the possibility of trading him to the Redskins for the number two overall pick. And they want to figure out a way. They're thinking about the possibility of Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow now, at least according to people around him, he has talked to guys like TJ Houshmandzadeh and some of the former players from Cincinnati, and he's getting an earful, basically saying, this franchise sucks. It really does. It just sucks. And now you're starting to get a wind that maybe, just maybe, he doesn't want to be a Cincinnati Bengal. He doesn't want to go to his home state of Ohio and play for that craptastic franchise. So they're thinking he may either, one, demand a trade, go to a different franchise, or maybe somebody else. Maybe they take Chase Young out of Ohio State first. Maybe the Cincinnati Bengals trade that pick for two or three number ones. I don't know. But there's a lot of talk about him wanting out of that pick, Joe Burrow, and the Bears are now trying to move up, thinking maybe, just maybe, they could deal Khalil Mack for the number two overall pick. And now the Bears are ruining it, of course, just like Cincinnati would. Joe Burrow will probably be an MVP if he goes anywhere else but Cincinnati. He goes to Cincinnati, he's going to be building a restaurant that says, you know, non-crappy food here with David Klingler. You know, I mean, that's just the way it goes when you become drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals. 855-830-8648. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We're back! We were sitting here talking a little bit about Randall Cobb. Going to hear from Keston Hura coming up here momentarily. This portion of the program also brought to you by our good friends. Over there at Levine Dental, Doc Paul, as I call him, go to LevineDental.com. Fantastic dentist, whether it's new patients, older patients, emergency patients, whatever it happens to be, he's taking patients. L-E-V-I-N-E, LevineDental.com. That's LevineDental.com. Keston Hura, the offseason, he said, look, pretty much the same old for the offseason.
It's about the same. Had about the same amount of time off and took a couple months off to kind of just relax and decompress a little bit from the season and then start ramping things back up. Enjoying time with, you know, family and friends and, you know, seeing people, you know, I haven't seen in like a year. So it's cool to catch up with them and get back into it.
The biggest thing for Keston here, he said his goal is to remain healthy for the entire season.
Big goal of mine is to stay healthy, make sure, you know, I'm able to last, you know, the whole season and do everything, you know, needed to prepare myself to compete to the fullest. And so I think those are, you know, big takeaways.
So he talked about gaining some because last year he came up and he kind of set the world on fire. He gained some confidence last year.
I mean, I always feel confident. You know, there's never really a time where I feel scared or nervous or anything like that. You know, it's always good to have confidence in yourself. You know, it definitely, you know, feels good to, you know, have a little bit of success, you know, last year during the season. But, you know, that season's over, so you got to put all your focus on this upcoming season, every game, you know, coming up.
Also, the roster, there's been some guys, obviously, that have left, and there's been some turnover from last season. But he said, look, I feel good about this group right now.
We have a great group of guys that, you know, a lot of them are new faces, but we're all confident what they can do and what they have done, you know, for this game of baseball. So we're excited to, you know, put all these puzzle pieces together and tackle head on in spring.
So that is Keston Hura, the Brewers second baseman. They're counting on him this year, man, big time. And he, look, I'm not expecting him to go out and light it up with a 9+ OPS every year, but if he gives them something similar to what he did last year, and you can get anything better out of Orlando Arcia is kind of a wild card in all of this. I mean, if he starts off hitting the ball well, and you get, you know, Lorenzo Cain gives you the 275, 280 that, you know, because for a while Lorenzo Cain was over 300. And you didn't expect that to last, but then to dip off the way he did, it probably because he was banged up and his injury was worse than what he led on to. But you get him going again. You get Keston Hiura and the middle of that infield along with Orlando Arcia really going. You got something offensively. I mean, I'm not going to get out over my skis on it. I think about what could be, but I'm excited to see Keston Hiura in the lineup fully. Now, one thing about Keston Hiura is, man, the defense has got to get better. His defense, I hope he went away and worked in the offseason on his defense. He said he did kind of the same old, but man, I hope his defense is better. Holy mackerel. Holy mackerel, because last year his defense was not great, to say the very least. But that being said, anyway, coming up in the next hour, Leroy Butler, Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame safety. He is going to join us. We're going to talk with him about this offseason. We're going to get into that discussion. And we're going to get a little bit of his thoughts as he's sitting there waiting for the call and waiting for the knock, and it didn't happen. And talk to him a little bit about life after Miami and how things are going now. We'll get into that discussion with him as well. Stay tuned. Also, in case you missed it, we had a great conversation with the Packers pass rushers at Arias Smith. He was just such a good guy to get to know, and I've had so many people that said, man, I didn't get a chance to hear that. You're going to get a chance to hear that. That's coming up at the bottom of the next hour, so stay tuned for that as well. Zadarius Smith, Leroy Butler, I mean, you don't end the show much better than that. Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Bill Michael Show right after this.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.